Hi, I'm Matt Hargett, and I did three talks at CPPCon this year about C++.
Wow, that is very impressive. When were your talks?
The first one on Monday was about accelerating your million line of code build, which I've helped a couple of companies do.
Very nice.
And then the second one, which was on Wednesday, was about pragmatic unit testing, getting into like the real kind of details about what it's like to apply, why you should, the economics of applying unit tests to a legacy code base, and the kind of code level things like how to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the last one today was about, it was called a CTO's Guide to Modern C++.
Oh.
And it was more about kind of how do you scale an engineering organization that is using C++ as a technology base. So how do you take a development organization from 10 people to 100 people to 500 people to 1,000 people, and what kind of infrastructure and practices and cultural things should you account for when you're planning to scale a C++ organization to those levels?
So based on your last topic, I'm going to guess you're the CTO of a company. You mind telling us a bit about what you do outside of giving speeches?
Sure. So I've been programming for about 3 decades now. I started out in BASIC on PCs using BASIC.com and GW BASIC.
Very nice.
In MS-DOS 3.21 or something like this. And then I used QuickC. I was a big Quick BASIC fan. Then I moved on to Pascal. And I was a big proponent of .NET. The startup I did in 2003, we actually used C# and .NET heavily. We used Mono, which is like an open source implementation. But we would develop in Visual Studio and then take that binary and just copy the .NET assemblies over to Linux, and it would just run, which was awesome. And I've been working at kind of a director level and junior executive level, helping companies implement, basically do agile rollouts more or less, but with a lot of very deep technical work as well with C++ and legacy code bases. There's some kind of like, there are some unique challenges to these early binding languages versus late binding languages like C# or JavaScript that take a lot of kind of deep and broad technical know-how to help people kind of get those things done. I've been working kind of senior engineering management or as like a technical co-founder and things like that for a few years now.
That's very impressive. I can see why they have you doing three talks here. How's the dynamic been for you? Just sort of like, do you feel like you've been able to enjoy the conference outside of the times that you've had to talk and prepare for all your talks? Like, or has it just been like sort of one after another?
Barely.
Talk one, prep one, talk one, prep
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty grueling. And I used to do computer security stuff, and I don't do that anymore, but I used to speak at these conferences called Black Hat and DEF CON in Las Vegas. And there was a couple of years where I did like 3 talks across the conferences or whatever, and apparently I didn't learn my lesson because it's just like my brain is cottage cheese right now. Like, because just like the prep, and it's kind of like, is the talk good enough? And you're trying to like make sure like you hit like your time marks and be prepared and stuff like that. And it's actually like, I like speaking, like I really do, like, but it takes a lot of energy to like be on for even just for an hour and not go hide in a corner somewhere and be by yourself.
So aside from don't do 3 talks at a conference, what advice would you have for future speakers at, I guess, conferences in general?
Find a local user group to practice with first. So like practicing on your spouse or your friends, if they don't know the subject matter, they may not be able to ask you the hard questions that more aggressive conference goers might ask when they're kicking the tires to figure out if you really know what you're talking about.
As I hear people at this conference have
I haven't had a problem in my talks, actually, which has been, everyone's been really constructive and whatever, but it's also like you should know what you're talking about. And if you're going to put something up on a slide, you should be able to go relatively deep on it. I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation, but
of course,
I think that the conference goers who ask questions which are maybe phrased antagonistically or whatever, maybe they have a good point, but like their interpersonal skills could use a little work, maybe.
Well, I think one of the best interpersonal skills is being able to extract the value out of someone, even if the statement is being difficult or antagonistic, but you know, there's something behind it always. And so it's good that you're able to handle that, hopefully. So how's the conference experience been for you? Like, I guess overall, even in spite of all the prep work that you've had to do.
It's been really great. I think that the organizers took a look, did a good job of taking a look at the other C++ conferences and trying to figure out, you know, what would be useful in another C++ conference that's not being satisfied by some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. And I think that the program that they've put together, you know, there's kind of stuff for the language weenies and like the standards weenies and people who are like cutting edge using C++ like 14 features like now in production code, as well as for the people who are in organizations that out of practicality or business necessity can't move that fast, and therefore they have you know, like they're just adopting C++11 or they're in C++03. Mm-hmm. And there's content for those people here kind of also. So I think that that's pretty cool. I also like how they, it looks like they really reached out to the video game development community. So Mike Acton is here from Insomniac, and there's some Ubisoft developers here. And I think it's great that those companies have allowed those guys to kind of open the technology kimono a little bit, so that everybody can benefit from that. And certainly console games especially had its own, just like high performance networking, there's like certain things you do in high performance networking or in video games that don't apply to other people who are using C++. But it's cool to get perspective and go like, oh wow, they don't do RTTI, but they made their own RTTI. And here's the reasons why and why not. And I think it's good for people to get that kind of perspective from people who go very deep but in a different direction for different reasons. I think it's good for C++ programmers as well as people at the CTO level to see like, oh, here's what it means to go deep with C++ for some kind of business strategy or benefit.
So the talks that you gave, was there one in particular that you were particularly looking forward to talking about? Or did you love them all equally, I guess would be the politically correct answer for this.
You know, it's interesting because like they all relate to each other to some degree. Mm. You know, it's hard to talk about having developers do unit tests and run unit tests if the build isn't fast to begin with. So the ordering that these came in was kind of like quite purposeful.
Oh, cool.
And then
that's
talking
nice.
About scaling organizations, part of making like every new developer hire, making sure developers are productive and that onboarding is optimized, stuff like that. A big part of that is having a fast build so that every developer you hire is fairly productive and isn't waiting around a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But also like having like a good safety net of unit tests and integration tests is also necessary for scaling a development organization. Mm-hmm. So that as you hire new people, they can make changes and the safety nets are in place to catch if they cause regressions or other kinds of problems. So I don't know. It's a bit of a. They're all kind of interrelated in my mind to some degree, and it's kind of like a progression of, here's the first thing, here's the second thing, and then here's like the kind of 10,000 foot view, like the CTO's, like that CTO kind of level of like developer productivity is important, and organizational scalability is important, and the kind of at a strategy level, and then the two tactics are fast builds and developer testing, but you can't do developer testing without fast builds.
Yeah.
Or it's not practical to mm-hmm. ask people to do that without right. fast builds.
I think it's really cool that you had the foresight and sort of architected all that together. Hopefully there are people who stuck with all of your talks. Hopefully
there were a couple actually.
Cool.
And so there's some in the talk today that were that told me like, you know, the way you tied these things together, they're like, I couldn't have anticipated. But
that's cool.
But one of like my main thrusts with a lot of the agile practices and things I talk about is the only reason to do these things is for sustainable, competitive business advantage. Mm-hmm. It's not to feel good about yourself or for like a superiority or whatever. Fast builds just make sense so developers aren't waiting around mm-hmm. and going off and playing ping pong. They can code more and that kind of stuff. You know, unit tests, having those safety nets in place are really necessary, as is static analysis. Having those tools in your toolbox and having those successive safety nets in place so that you can hire more and more people, and as you hire people, they just aren't causing more and more collateral damage. To me, it's all one kind of, it's all part of the same kind of narrative. And whether you're a small team or you're doing on a greenfield code base or you're on a large team, it's all the same kind of basic kind of economics of software development to me. And but yeah, so some people attended all three and liked the arc of the whole thing. But also, if people just went to one of them, they would have gotten stuff out of it too.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us for this time, taking time out of the conference to speak to the Channel 9 viewers. I really appreciate just the amount of thought that you really put into your presentation, tying all this stuff together, and really talking about stuff that makes sense for companies. And so I hope both the companies and the people that were part of them got a lot from your talks.
I hope so, too. Thanks.
Thanks for coming by.